It's Joel 2, verses 28 to 32. If you'd like to follow it in the Pew Bibles, it's on page 913. Well, it could be 914, depending on your version. So it's Joel chapter 2, verses 28 to 32. The day of the Lord. And afterward, I will pour out my soul on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. From Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be deliverance, as the Lord has said, even among the survivors whom the Lord calls. This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading is taken from the book of Acts. It's chapter 1, verses 1 to 8, and in my Bible it's on 1092. But you might have a slightly different page with a different Bible. So Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 8. Jesus taken up into heaven. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So we just pray. Heavenly Father, may my lips faithfully speak your word, and may all our hearts be open to receive it, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I fancy that if you asked everyone here what was the first thing that came into their mind with the word power, you'd probably get lots of different responses. Because we use it in different ways, don't we? If we're writing or speaking, we use it as a noun or as a verb or as an adjective, and we probably completely misuse it. And if someone's in a position of power, they're usually in a position to get things done. Power comes into our homes, into this building, to light it, to heat it. We have batteries in our torches. I'm not a great fan of TV adverts, but there is one I do like, and I do like the Duracell bunny. Other batteries are available, as they say. Perhaps because he conveys a real sense of energy and purpose, and get up and go. And because actually it's what I used to be called at training sessions, because I used to just keep on going. So they used to say the Duracell bunnies running around the field. Thank you, Jeremy. Better not leave him up too long or we'll get distracted with him. And the running fraternity actually has many different energy bars, gels, etc., all supposed to give you speed and endurance. And in fact, there's one actually called the power bar, would you believe? But I ignore that. I tend to stick to good old-fashioned chocolate. But in the same way as my tummy probably won't like that bar, then power of all sorts can be misused. And we're probably all very familiar with that quotation that goes back to 1887 and is attributed to Lord Acton, that power tends to corrupt and absolute power corrupts absolutely. So what's all this got to do with us today, and what's a true picture of true power? We're partway through a morning sermon series, and some of you are probably, maybe this is the first one, I don't know, for you, and the parish theme of You Are My Witnesses. And today's sub-theme that we've been given is You Need Powers. But actually, I prefer to use the singular power, because I think there's one power and one source of power that really matters. And our reading from Acts chapter 1, page 1092 or thereabouts, if you want to follow in the Bibles, can help us explore this a bit more. And I have to say that this passage and the one from Joel I find really, really exciting. And for some considerable time, I didn't really know where to start with this talk because it was sending me all over the place. So having come down from the stratosphere for a few moments, it might be helpful just to put the Acts passage in context. And the book of Acts is in many ways the second volume of which Luke's gospel is the first. Hence Luke, the writer of Acts, opens with the words, "In my former book." Acts is the story, albeit a selective story, of the early church and is all about Jesus. However, it's also been likened to a play in which we're invited to become actors and to become part of that unfolding drama. So let's just take our cue, shall we, and enter into that play. Fundamental to the whole book of Acts is the resurrection of Jesus and the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. We're going to be focusing on the latter, but they are both foundational to our Christian faith and inseparable. So let's consider together what is power, how we get that power, and why we need that power. So firstly, what is the power? And the power we're thinking about this morning is a gift from God, the gift the Father promised. Jesus reminds the disciples that he'd spoken to them about the gift of the Holy Spirit during his time of ministry. And when he promised the disciples the Holy Spirit, he said, "If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth." And he then referred back to the beginning of his ministry, where John the Baptist summoned Israel to repentance and renewal. As we read in verse 5, "John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." And that comparison with John's baptizing is quite significant. John baptized with water, which really was only a sign, and John recognized that, but the disciples will be baptized with the Holy Spirit, which was power. So if the Holy Spirit is power, how are the disciples and how are we supposed to get that power? The disciples were told quite clearly what to do. "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised," verse 4 of our passage. They would then receive the Holy Spirit and power. And that happened 10 days later at Pentecost. And the prophet Joel foreshadowed the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in those wonderful words we had read to us. "I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." And that's where I really start to get excited. I think those words really are fantastic. But there's an important word in Jesus' instructions which stopped me running off like the Duracell bunny, and that's wait. And it's something I'm not always very good at, and it's certainly something that our society aren't always very good at, because they want everything to happen like now. We should wait and pray for the presence of the power of the Holy Spirit to find both our calling and our energy. The Duracell bunny is great, but once in, he's off regardless. He's not waiting for anyone. We should learn to be still amid the busyness of life. We will receive more power and peace if we do. And there's much sense in the words of Isaiah. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And that phrase, hope in the Lord, does mean waiting on the Lord. The Holy Spirit isn't going to come like some delivery from Amazon or a drone from the sky or however things come these days. So before we think about why we need that power, let's just take a moment, and we'll have some music to help us, to be still and wait on the Lord. We may receive the Holy Spirit now, we may not. The timing for each one of us is in God's hands. But just let the music or just let the time work in you and the Holy Spirit work in you, uniquely in you. He works in all of us in different ways, not us trying to be someone else. So let's just have a few moments just to let the Spirit come in. Thank you, Jeremy. So why do we need that power? The apostles hadn't quite grasped the why and the timing of all this, hence their question in verse 6. Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? They weren't alone. It was generally believed that God would establish an earthly kingdom. And the mention of the coming of the Holy Spirit probably encouraged them to think it was going to happen there and then. In fact, what Jesus meant by his central message about the kingdom of God was that God's kingdom was coming, but it would be through Jesus by the transforming the things in this world. as indeed we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. It was not for the apostles, and it isn't for us to know the time. It is not for you to know the times and dates the Father has set by his authority, says Jesus, quite clearly. The apostles remind one of children in a car, don't they, going on a journey, questioning very frequently, are we nearly there yet? Or as I used to hear on the train, them saying, is ours the next station, before they'd hardly left Charing Cross. So, you know, it's a theme, isn't it? We all want to get there before we've started. God has the authority. He will decide the time, but we are given the power. We are promised the power. And to attain the kingdom of God, the power received from the Holy Spirit is absolutely necessary. But power of any sort is only any good if we use it and use it properly. Yes, we should use the power of the Holy Spirit to bring us closer to God, but we also need it to witness for him, as Jesus commands quite clearly in verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And we need that power, just as Jesus' early followers needed that power, if we are to be his witnesses. And we need power that is going to last. Even the Duracell bunny does not go on forever. He might outlast the other batteries, but he stops at some point. And the power bar and its effects certainly don't last for very long. And they don't last for me. So actually, I'm going to give this to somebody who did something amazing and almost replied to an email before I had sent one yesterday. So Felicity, can you catch? We will have a powerful member of the group soon. So let's be honest. A witness is only effective if they can say, I know this is true, not I think this is true. Real witnessing is not just words, it is also deeds. And perhaps, slightly more disconcertingly, the Greek word for witness and for martyr are the same. To be a witness means being faithful, no matter what the cost. And if we all go a bit weak-kneed at that point, we must take encouragement from what happened to Peter. We know that he denied being with Jesus in front of a small crowd or hardly any people. And yet after the Holy Spirit came upon him, he delivered amazing sermons in front of a whole crowd of people. So that is an example and an encouragement. The power of the Holy Spirit was going to make disciples Christ's witnesses, and it's going to do the same for us. We are on the same journey as those disciples. As commentator Tom Wright puts it, like the child who stops asking the questions because suddenly the journey itself becomes so interesting, we find there's so much to see that we won't worry so much about the word when. Jesus is already appointed and enthroned as the world's true king. One day that kingdom will come, fully and finally. In the meantime, we have a job to do. That job may be daunting to most of, if not all of us. But as Jesus said to those early followers, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So let's just hold that thought now in our minds for a moment before I close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to be your witnesses in this place and beyond, for different kinds of gifts but the same Spirit, for different kinds of service but the same Lord, for different kinds of working but the same God. Send your Holy Spirit into all our hearts, that your word may take root and grow in us, so that we may flourish in your service to the glory of your name. Amen.